Welcome, everybody. This is the Life Enthusiast Co-op Google Hangout. So we're really happy to have you join us, and we're very excited because we've got a really interesting guest. But I'm your host, Scott Patton. We're here to restore vitality to you and the planet. And joining us, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing?
Hey, Scott. I'm doing great, and I'm happy to see you here. And today I would like to introduce Dr. Ron Cusson, doctor as in PhD doctor. Ron, there's his smiling face. He's not looking at us. Ron Cusson is a friend of mine, but also a supplier. He is at the head of a company called Essence C, and they have been supplying us with interesting products. Ron is a by original trade, he's the true rocket scientist. Well, actually, no. Ron has worked on the atomic research. I think maybe I should try and let him explain what he's allowed to say about these things, because he was definitely working for the people who don't like the details disclosed. But since retiring, Ron has become a true pursuer of health. Ron, I think I can't do it justice. Can you please tell me what of your education is disclosable to the world?
Yes, I have a PhD in physics and mathematics from California Institute of Technology in 1964. And then after that, I went into classified research for Uncle Sam. And then for many years, I was doing that. And then there came a time in which Uncle Sam said, "You know what, Ron? The stuff you've been doing research on doesn't work. We're firing you." So the good news is that I got fired from doing this incredibly unconscionable classified research. And I started scratching my head, what else am I going to do with my life? And then by the time retirement came around, I had been a programmer for many years, working for companies like Oracle. It's because the classified work was very heavy into programming. So I'd learned lots of programming. And then I was very sick. So I retired when I was 59, and I'm 75 now. So it's been 15 years. And since retiring, I healed just about every known disease that old guys could have. And now I am into my second lifetime, if you wish. And it's a lot of fun. And I'm sharing as much as I can of how I did it with my friends. That's my story right now.
So the sort of health situation that you found yourself at age 59, what was that like?
It was like I would pay $500 to make a plane reservation to go and attend a lecture, and then the day I was supposed to get up and go and fly on the plane, I would lie down on the couch and couldn't get up. I was suffering from hypoglycemic shock, my blood sugar was so low that I couldn't move off the couch. So,
hey, that's so funny. This live hangout, we get to see what's going on in your office, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I forgot to turn this thing off. I'll try to speak over it. And then, so I had diabetes very badly, and of course I was getting to be very overweight, and sometimes I couldn't sleep, sometimes I couldn't get up, and then over time all that went away, and I was crippled, and all my joints were malfunctioning. I was coming down with arthritis, and since then, for the last 3 or 4 years, all the arthritis has pretty much vanished. The diabetes has vanished. The high blood pressure has vanished. So I'm guessing that I will never have all the fungus trouble has vanished. Right now, for me, it's paradise on earth.
So you're pretty much a poster child for the alternative health.
I am 100%. You know, as a child, I spent the first 16 years of my life, I spent 5 years in the hospital, suffering from repeated bouts of tuberculosis, lung tuberculosis, bone tuberculosis, every kind of kidney tuberculosis, and I got, you know, the healing of tuberculosis is calcification. So if you heal tuberculosis, you just calcify all the parts that had tuberculosis in them. And so I could hardly move. And so I didn't want to go to any hospital. First of all, I didn't believe in them. And I decided I was going to invent my own cures.
So I guess the big question that that I have is, how did you do it?
Research. I started, the internet was coming online very strong. So, I had subscription to all the research journals. So I started researching all the known causes of problems and diseases that people had. And then I would go into a meditation, and then I would ask for a dream. And I would ask for the dream guides to give me the URL of an internet site that would have information that I could use. And then, or you could simply ignore all that, and the next morning I would get up and there would be in my head a URL to go and look at, and I would go and look at it, and I would add 2 and 2 and say, oh, this has information I can use. And so I started using that information and acting on it, building various supplements that did not exist. And then observing the results on me, of course.
So the two thoughts came to me. One of them was, oh my gosh, if I could patent Ron's search engine, we would do better than Google, because we would get the one URL instead of 20 or 30 different ones that come up that you have to click on and check. Instead, just get the one site and go to it direct.
Right. And so when I was doing a Google search, I would do a Google search by topic. So I would type in a sentence, you know, how can I deal with this situation type sentence. And then Google would give me possible answers, you know. And then I would take a look at half a dozen of those. And then I would say, this is not the right question. Ask a different question. And I kept going that way until I found a site that had some interesting scientific information.
This actually reminds me a lot about the method I was using, and use still to this day. Whenever I try to research something, I'm finding myself terribly frustrated with what's out there. When I type in something like frozen ankle or stiff ankle or calcification of joints, most of what comes back is commercial nonsense that has maybe some painkillers, but maybe some suggestions for surgery, but hardly ever do I get anything useful.
Right. So one of the things I found out early was the website that is put out by Dr. Circus. And he started expounding on the marvels of sodium bicarbonate and magnesium chloride. And then, of course, he would say, but don't go too far. If you do magnesium chloride, if you do too much, you'll get loose bowels. Don't do sodium bicarbonate, but don't do too much of that, because if you do too much, you'll have some other problem. And so he says, he called it natural allopathic medicine. And it was to be a savvy combination of these things with a good eye on the negative possibilities. And then I said, gee, wouldn't it be nice if I could combine the magnesium and the bicarbonate together so that we would not have the disadvantage of the sodium and in the bicarbonate, and not have the disadvantage of the chloride and the magnesium chloride. And so I started looking for chemical formulas to combine various other chemicals into something that would create magnesium bicarbonate. Of course, the first thing I learned is that magnesium bicarbonate does not exist in the solid state. It only exists in the liquid state. So after a while, what evolved out of that is the C-relief whey. And so the first that I could tell you is, what is it? And I'll tell you what it is by explaining to you how I feel about life these days. So to me, the sea relief way is feeling good all the time, responding to stress basically by falling asleep. And to me, it's much better to respond to stress by falling asleep than to respond to stress by fighting it. The idea being is that the world is going into chaos right now, and the chaos is such that you should not fight it and you should not run from it. You just sit and wait, hang on tight, and look for opportunities. And then, like for example, in the sea relief way, what is it? So it's feeling good all the time, falling asleep when you're under stress, only eating when you're hungry, never having any physical pain anywhere, seeing people come at you from 3 miles away, and then not fighting with them, but just walking on the other side of the sidewalk when you don't want to talk with them, when you don't want to interact with them. And then restoring the organs in your body to the feeling that you had when you were 20 and 25 and 30. So bring your physiology back to the age of 30, and then pick a goal, pick something you want to do out of life, and let it have a spiritual component. So for me, that thing was, well, look, this thing is working for me. How about if I propagate it to everybody that wants to use it and help make the world a better place, you know, while having fun, of course. So that's the sea relief way for me.
So why is it then so hard?
So why is it so hard to do? And fundamentally, it has to do with what I think is evolution. It has to do with the fact that the human physiology, or the physiology of mammals, if you wish, it came from the ocean some several hundred million years ago. And in the ocean, the mineral balance is very different from the mineral balance on the planet. So in the ocean, the mineral balance is such that the second most abundant mineral in the ocean is magnesium. And then after that, there's three times less calcium than magnesium, and then there's potassium over there. And so it's been very hard to do, because as the mammalian came out of the ocean onto land, the land experience has been that there's a great deal more calcium than magnesium on land. And this was very useful, because on land you have to move a lot faster. So with a lot more calcium, you became a sympathetic dominant. And so you could move very fast, which is very exciting indeed, either running from the prey or running after the prey. But the disadvantage of that is that the excess of calcium over magnesium accumulates calcium in the soft tissues. And once the soft tissues get calcified, none of them work the way they were intended to do when you were living in the ocean. So basically from birth, we are starting to calcify until there comes the time in old age where we are so calcified that we can hardly move. And so that predisposes us to be in a very vulnerable state when we get older. And then came in the last 10,000 years this business about processing food for convenience and for financial reasons, for lots of different reasons. And when food was being processed, they ended up using artificial organic chemicals developed from petroleum distillates, and that created what I call to be a bunch of Franken food. And you eat the food itself has negative side effects. So between the decreased efficiency organs of our system and the food, which has negative side effects, we ended up creating all sorts of degenerative diseases. So that's become very, very difficult now to have a lifespan of more than 70, 71, most people. And then the last 5 or 10 years of that are very unpleasant. So that's why it's been very hard to do.
So how do we prevent the calcification?
Oh, preventing it consists in going back at birth to a diet which is much closer to the one we would have if we were living on the edge of the sea. A Mediterranean diet in which we would use a lot of seafood, a lot of sea vegetables, and things like that. And then if we were to, for example, if we were to grow our food with contaminated seawater, I know that sounds crazy, 1% seawater in sweet water grows food that is much, much better quality than anything else on the planet we can think of. However, once civilization moved on land far away from the ocean, none of that was available. So the methods for fertilizing food were not there, which means the food was grown with a magnesium deficiency and a calcium surplus. And to this day, with the fact that our society moves so fast, it's so sympathetic dominant, that the society never allows anybody to learn ways to relax, have fun, go with the flow, be parasympathetic dominant, and therefore the research done needed to be done for finding this new approach to nutrition was not done because there was no money in it. And well, everybody knows you got to have lots of money in order to have a good life right now, don't you?
You're saying it so well. The motivation for knowing what's the right thing to do versus what's the wrong thing to do is just not there, because the people who are growing the food, they want to grow it fast. They don't really care that it's devoid of nutrients, that the soils are depleted. They just simply want the broccoli to look pretty in the store display. They don't really care that it's hollow, that it's mineral depleted and deficient. Yeah?
Yeah. So in our search, for example, we developed fertilizers, which work. We can use in greenhouses. We can grow greenhouse food that has all the mineral balance that you would have if it was grown with 1% seawater. And we call it functional foods, you know, medicinal food, if you wish. And, you know, if I had $5 million right now, I have plenty of places where I could get 50 acres of greenhouse and grow that food and give it to children, to babies and children, and, you know, wean the children from cow's milk, you know, dairy products. I've never been good for anybody whatsoever. It's all good for the little calf, but not good for the person.
Yeah, sounds good, Ron. So the points are easy to be understood then, huh? Getting industrial food can be cheap. Well, mind you, let me ask it this way. Growing the food your way with your supplementation, with your method, would it be more expensive or less expensive than what they're doing in the industrial food growing now?
Well, this reminds me, when you talk to an accountant and you say, what's the production cost of this particular product? And then he says, well, over what year? Over 1 year, 10 years? Are you going to include depreciation? Are you going to include servicing, maintenance, and everything else? And if we say yes, then he looks at me and says, oh, it's pretty high. But if we say, what's the incremental production cost, you know, the incremental production cost of just producing another pint of this stuff, then it's very low. So the same goes with the food grown my way. The long-term production costs are very low because all the maintenance and the healing and the diseases that we will get from eating that will be a lot less. But the initial cost, the incremental cost of producing another pound of it, yeah, is right now it would be quite a bit higher because I have defined a protocol in which we could go and harvest ocean water, process ocean water using a variety of technology in which we could produce these fertilizers very, very cheaply. But we'd have to produce them enough to feed 200 million people. Then the cost comes down reasonable. Right now the cost is very high.
Yeah, that's typical and unfortunate. I guess we would need to go to the big picture, like our government thinking as a investor as opposed to as a user.
Yeah.
Switching from the tactical view to the strategic view. But yeah. That's just so commonplace in our society. I keep repeating that in so many different areas of my life where I go, well, how about health? Are you interested in treating your symptoms, or would you be interested in finding the cause of the symptoms and removing that?
Indeed.
And the second side of it is that even when people know the right thing, they frequently don't do enough. The metaphor I use is you show up at a house fire with a garden hose, you're doing the right thing, but simply not enough of it.
That's right, exactly. So I've taken the point of view that the growing the food our way, the SNC way, is a long-term project. So the short term, we think that what's very important is to help people decalcify. That's the most urgent thing. And then we help them decalcify. Our first product that helps people decalcify is the sea relief concentrate. And I have a bottle of it here. This is a 1 liter bottle of sea relief concentrate. And the label for that is on that PowerPoint, which you can show if you can. Yeah. So the idea there is that you can consume that thing at two levels of a concentration. The concentrate itself is 50,000 parts per million, and that's a 5% solution of magnesium bicarbonate. Now, it's magnesium bicarbonate exists in nature. There are spring water sources in Northern California, which will give you 400 parts per million, 400, not 50,000, 400 parts per million of magnesium bicarbonate and no calcium bicarbonate. Whereas by the average hard water in the country, it will be something like 600 parts of calcium bicarbonate and maybe 50 parts per million of magnesium bicarbonate. That's the typical ratio, it's 10 to 1. And at that ratio, the calcium is doing all the damage. Drinking hard water that's highly calcified just adds to the calcium load of the soft tissue, and because it doesn't have enough magnesium, it does not help you stabilize the bone calcium. So the bone calcium comes out of the bones and goes and further contaminates the soft tissues. So this one here is 50,000 parts per million, 5% solution of magnesium bicarbonate. So why don't we put a magnesium bicarbonate pill? Unfortunately, magnesium bicarbonate does not exist in a solid state. So as soon as we try to dehydrate it, it converts to magnesium carbonate. And magnesium carbonate is hard as rock. It is rock. It's called magnesium carbonate rock. And we cannot work with that. So what we do is we produce a concentrate. Then you dissolve the concentrate at the rate of either 1 ounce per gallon or 4 ounce per gallon. At 1 ounce per gallon, we call it the maintenance dose. We'll talk about that later. At 4 ounce per gallon, we call it a therapeutic dose. Or if you don't like to use the word therapeutic, you could call it the health recovery mode. And at that point, if you drink four or more glasses per day outside of mealtime, preferably, not necessarily, but preferably outside of mealtime, what ends up happening is that you start putting bicarbonate ions everywhere in your soft tissues. Now, bicarbonate ions are the prime oxygen transporters in your body. So it means that every time you have a cell that is deficient in oxygen, like fungus cells, then this will increase its oxygen content, and automatically when you go to a high oxygen content, you increase the pH, and even the fungus cells will reach an internal pH of 8.5, and at an internal pH of 8.5, there's the maximum energy production, and fungi don't like that, so they commit apoptosis, and you get rid of fungi, so you get rid of candida and things like that. But it doesn't come alone. If it had been potassium bicarbonate, if you put enough bicarbonate in a cell that is magnesium, that is sodium bicarbonate, then the sodium ends up damaging the cell because it changes the way water goes across the cell boundary. But if you do it as magnesium bicarbonate, then the magnesium part, you see the magnesium bicarbonate goes in, bicarbonate goes and produces energy, the magnesium part goes in there and starts fighting the calcium. So it kicks out the calcium. Calcium comes out of the cell, and now that cell all of a sudden becomes a healthy cell that has plenty of oxygen and it has a proper circulation. Unfortunately, you have to keep circulating it. Magnesium is not saved anywhere in the body. You have to keep replenishing it. And the reason for that is that in the original evolution of the species, the magnesium was plentiful. It was the second most abundant mineral in the ocean. There was no need to save it. You always had a fresh supply coming at you. So it means that we are for life destined to drink water that has plenty of that in it. And so you do that, And so the calcium comes out of the cell, the oxygen goes up, and then little by little, physiology gets restored to its original function. And then you got to go and deal with the emotions. If you've been emotionally stressed...
Hey, Ron, before you get there, let me just try... You're speaking beautifully, but so fast that I wonder if people are actually able to get it. And so what I want to do is just go over these points slower and really dwell on it properly, which is... what I heard you say is that we're deficient in magnesium, but people have been supplementing with magnesium using things like, using things like, for instance, Epsom salts, magnesium sulfate, or our company have been successfully putting forward tools like magnesium chloride, either internal or topical. And then there are the magnesium citrates that are so popular out there, like the magnesium calm and the likes. So that's one train of thought that I would like you to go over, you know, which form of magnesium and why. And then the second part was you started talking about the bicarbonate. And yes, I understand you said that sodium bicarbonate has its downside of coming with too much sodium, and potassium bicarbonate doesn't stay long enough and has its other issues. So let's go over that one more time. Okay. The magnesium supplementation, yeah?
Yeah, magnesium supplementation. If you're not careful, you walk the fine line. You must not take too much magnesium, regular magnesium supplementation, otherwise it creates loose bowels. And then once you create loose bowels, you lose all the magnesium you put in, so you end up with a greater magnesium deficiency than you had before. So for a body that's been calcified for most of its lifetime, there is no magnesium supplement that produces enough magnesium to actually go to all the places where it would be needed to kick out the calcium.
And so even the topical magnesium, you know, remember we are producing this magnesium chloride that we have been putting into baths and things like that. Does that not work well enough?
Not well enough. It works some, yeah. For example, it will give you a temporary relief from fibromyalgia pain, but it will not go into the cells of the soft tissue and kick out the calcium that's embedded in there. So basically, it will not put you into longevity mode.
So you're saying that... So sorry, I interrupted. So you're saying that the, say, the Epsom salt bath is kind of okay but not great?
It's better than nothing. It gives you temporary relief. It will not put you into the longevity mode.
Beautifully said. Okay, so longevity mode. And I heard you say that the only way to have the magnesium get into the cells permanently is when it comes in as a bicarbonate. Not carbonate, bicarbonate.
Bicarbonate, not carbonate. Magnesium carbonate is not soluble in water. So people who use dolomite tablets to give themselves calcium, magnesium, well, you know, they're whistling Dixie. Basically, the solubility of magnesium as magnesium bicarbonate is 1 or 2 parts per million. So it never makes it inside the cells. If you dissolve it off of it, it will give you diarrhea.
So it sounds to me like the problem is the delivery of the magnesium, and by using the bicarbonate, you're able to actually get it into the cells efficiently, whereas anywhere else, if you got the amounts in, it would just run through the body because the body's not going to absorb it.
Right. So what some people do is they produce magnesium proteinates of various kinds. This is chelated magnesium inside of a vegetable protein, and it works just fine. The thing is that there's several thousands of those that are needed in order to do a good job of penetrating in all the cells. Because as soon as you do an organic chelation of magnesium, you are responsible for matching the cage with the opening inside the cell. There's a thing called a calcium channel in the cell, which is actually a magnesium channel. And that calcium channel is particular for every cell. It says, sure, we'll take magnesium citrate, but we won't be able to put it here or there. We can only put it in one place at a time. and so on for all the proteinates. So the costs of producing this vast array of magnesium, chelated organic magnesium, is astronomical. Nobody can afford to. It costs you thousands of dollars a day to actually do that with our current technology. Whereas magnesium bicarbonate gets absorbed into the cell for two reasons. Number one, because magnesium goes into the calcium channel very easily. And second, because of the bicarbonate. The cells need bicarbonate to supply the oxygen that they need in order to function properly.
So Scott, was there a question?
No, he answered the question. So that was good. I was waiting for you to move on to the next part.
Okay, so the next part then, so covering the bicarbonate issue, how would that flow in here?
Right, the bicarbonate issue, there are people who will tell you that if you have an acidic body, it's because there's not enough oxygen in your body. Therefore, you must supply oxygen. Therefore, you say, pour some ozone in there. Ozone will deliver oxygen, very. The difficulty with ozone therapy is that it burns. It's not buffered. So the bicarbonate is buffered to a pH of around 8.5. It's amphoteric, as they say in chemistry. Means if the pH is higher than 8.5, it brings it down to 8.5. The pH is lower than 8.5, it brings it up to 8.5. Well, it just turns out that in the human cells, the ideal pH at which the ATP forms, creates energy, happens to be 8.5. That's not an accident. It's because the normal body function produces bicarbonates, all sorts of bicarbonates. A little bit of magnesium if you have some, a little bit of sodium, a little bit of potassium, all the different kinds of bicarbonate, and they are used to fuel the energy reaction inside the body.
Sorry to interrupt. I just have these in-between questions. Like you mentioned 8.5 on the pH of the internal pH of the cell. So how does it relate to the desired blood pH of the 7.35, or why is it so much more alkaline?
It's so much more alkaline because it's used as a furnace in which the energy is produced. And then once the energy moves and the byproduct moves into the blood, you don't need such a high pH. So there are things in the blood pH that like to see a low pH, and there's other things that like to see a high pH, and then the regulation is around 7.35. But the blood is not the inside of the cell.
Yeah. Yes. Correct. That you're right about that. So you're correctly saying these words about oxygen. Like people in cancer and other disastrous situation where the cell oxygenation has gone away have been using tools like either
hyperbarics would be one.
Well, hyperbaric would push it in, but also using hydrogen peroxide to push that, or they would be using ozone. Well, no. I'm thinking ozone and hydrogen peroxide and vitamin C IV therapies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, vitamin C. There's two forms of vitamin C. There's the normal form and there's the oxygenated form. So the oxygenated form transports oxygen that it gets from the lung, and then it delivers it to whoever wants it in the body. So it's an excellent oxygen transporter. And in our work, we find an interchangeability between vitamin C, that's the ascorbate radical, and bicarbonate, mostly as a magnesium bicarbonate. They perform very similar function. And you could say that magnesium bicarbonate is the vitamin C of the primitive physiology.
Wow, so that's quite amazing. And of course, the human body is incapable of producing vitamin C. It has to ingest it from outer sources. I guess similarly with the magnesium, just as you explained, that it doesn't get stored.
Ocean mammals produce lots of magnesium bicarbonate.
But they just ingest it.
No, that's right. They just ingest the magnesium chloride, and then their respiration reacts the magnesium chloride to form magnesium bicarbonate, and that gets distributed to everybody in the body that needs it. You see, if magnesium bicarbonate had been available in a solid state, our scientists would have figured it out. But because it's not available in a solid state, the only natural source of it was 400 parts per million of pure magnesium bicarbonate in those spring water from Northern California, and they want an arm and a leg for it. And I don't blame them, because it's very rare, you know, product offer and demand. So now that we have the ability to do research with it, I'm going to expect that there will be research laboratories that will find out what are the various nice things you can do with magnesium bicarbonate.
Fantastic. I just jumped on it. Scott, you had a question?
No, I'm saying that, but it has to be in a liquid form, right?
Well, we don't have any choice. As soon as you, for example, the bottle here is carbonated. There's CO2 has been added to it. And that's why it's a soda bottle. And then if you were to leave the bottle open on the kitchen counter, then the CO2 would slowly come out of there. And after a day or two, you would see a white deposit at the bottom of the bottle. And the white deposit would be magnesium carbonate, insoluble magnesium carbonate. And then that product would have to be thrown away. It has no use to anybody anymore.
Okay.
So that has a disadvantage, because we have to ship this thing in a carbonated bottle. And then you can't open it when you receive it. You have to put it in the refrigerator to cool it. And then when it's nice and cold, you don't shake the bottle. You slowly open the bottle, and then you pour what you need out of the bottle, and you reseal the bottle, and you put it back in the refrigerator. I don't know of any other way to do it.
So it's treated like precious wine, and it'll be fine.
Here's a good one for you. I'm glad you mentioned it, because it's a fun thing. Go and buy a $3.95 bottle of wine, okay, anywhere you can. And then what you do is you put 1 ounce of the sea relief concentrate into that 1 liter bottle of wine. And now, as it happens, the sea relief concentrate is very highly clustered, and it's called water clustering. In other words, water chelation. It's very highly chelated. There's many, many layers of about half a dozen layers of hexagonal water clusters around the molecule. And so you put that in your bottle of wine, and then you put the bottle of wine back in the refrigerator, and you leave it there for a couple of days. And what happens is that all of the water in the wine gets transformed to water chelated, and all the items in the wine get chelated with water. And then when you take this wine out and you pour it in a glass, it tastes like a $50 bottle of wine. Mm-hmm. Now, some people say that this is no good, because you've ruined the flavor of our wine. But if you've ever bought a $50 bottle of wine, you know it very well. And it's a very soft and sweet texture. You can barely taste the alcohol, and so on and so on.
You know, this actually reminds me of the tools. I mean, we have some harmonizer tools, like plates that you can set your water products upon, or even the magnetic treatment that you can use to restructure the water or any drink.
Yes.
You've actually worked with this technology, right?
Oh, yeah. We call it the Voluxit technology. And we have developed the Voluxit technology to the point. The plates you sell are good stuff. But our industrial Voluxers that we use to prepare this product is 5,000 to 10,000 times more powerful. So you'd have to put it on the plate 10 years in order to get the same effect that we get when we put it in our Voluxit technology for 2 or 3 minutes. And basically, it's taking us about 2 minutes to produce this bottle of stuff with the chelation. So yeah, it's critical, it works. And the Voluxit technology was developed as an outgrowth of the C11 technology for making Armis and things like that. But
Our customers run, actually, some of them anyway, understand Armis. I mean, we do sell Armis products on this website.
Oh yeah,
so
that's good.
Of course, so of course it would be smart for them to number one, take their commercial blender and upgrade it with the Volixer technology so that they can make their own structured water, and then they could add the Ormus products into that water and then make really special libations,
Oh, they sure could. And in particular, they don't have to spend all that money for Vitamix. They can use a thing called the NutriBullet. And we now install charging capsules in the NutriBullet. It's less expensive because it's got a smaller jar. And so we can put your Ormus product, some of cereal leaf concentrate, and then whatever else you want, wine or alcohol, doesn't matter, right? And make these drink concoctions that are out of this world and healthy. You know, alcohol is not bad for the liver in small quantity. Once the liver gets calcified, alcohol in large quantity kills the function of the liver. But it's not really because the liver is getting alcohol. It's because the liver is calcified. And alcohol actually dissolves the oil in the liver. But once the liver gets calcified, the oil doesn't get dissolved anymore by the alcohol, and then you get real liver damage. Hmm. But I'm not going to argue that point with the liver experts, because we now have plenty of people who have healed all sorts of liver issues, gallstones and things like that, with a large quantity of cereal leaf concentrate.
So you're saying that the process, well, let's get it described. How do you actually do it? Maybe I should put the next slide up, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so you talk. Go ahead. To describe this, what's next, yeah?
What's next is the basically the calcification program. And the first component of that is the cereal leaf concentrate. The second one is the cereal leaf lotion. And the cereal leaf lotion is a topical thing. Basically, when you start pushing the calcium out of the cells, it tends to accumulate in the lymph, because as long as the lymph has got a low pH, it has these calcium filaments, basically hydroxyl apatite and things like that filaments, and these will produce all sorts of difficulties and pain. And so what we tell people is rub your body with the cereal leaf lotion at all the places where you feel pain. And sometimes the fibromyalgia pain will chase around, and you chase the pain around. And what that does is that the magnesium chloride goes interstitially and reacts with the calcium deposits, and then tends to liquefy them, and then make them available for exit through the bloodstream. So we find this one to be very useful. The next one that we find very useful for the decalcification process is Cyodine. Now, Cyodine is Edgar Cayce's prescription for making adding iodine to the thyroid. And once the thyroid is properly iodized, especially in the decalcification stage where the thyroid already has plenty of calcium in it, so it needs a little overdose of iodine, and it's able to go around the body and to grab at all sorts of fungus cells. And, you know, for me, fungus cells includes a much broader category, and we're not going to argue the point whether cancer is a fungus or not. But in many, the behavior of fungi is the behavior of cancer cells. So with an excess of iodine, the cancer cells, coupled with the magnesium bicarbonate, which is an oxygen supplier, have a very hard time surviving. So we recommend to people to use a lot more iodine than their regular 8 drops per day. We say for the first 3 months, you go triple that, 24 drops per day, to get yourself into the decalcification mode.
Ron, can you take the iodine topically instead of in water?
You could. And the thing is that, it's going to be very hard, because 25 drops of iodine topically, you're going to have to rub it all over your body, and it's going to make a mess.
Right.
So it's much better to start small, put one drop on your skin initially to make sure you don't have an allergy reaction, and then start doing one drop per day, two drops per day, and keep going. We have people who do hundreds of drops per day of iodine, and they're doing just fine. Thank you very much. People, you know, one little bottle there that for which this is the label lasts about a month at 8 drops a day. That's about 5 milligrams of iodine per day. But there are people living right now in Southeast Asia in coastal environments who get hundreds of milligrams of iodine per day, and they're doing just fine. Thank you very much. So this business that iodine is toxic and poisonous in large quantity originates from the fact that nobody wanted to do. All right, exactly. So now we're going to advance to the next step, which is after we've done most of the decalcification we wanted to do, how do we go back to the very first slide at the beginning?
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
This one.
Right, this one. The active balance of central nervous system, sympathetic versus parasympathetic. So the idea there is that we want to have fun in life. We want to be active. We want to be able to go golfing, or we want to be able to go running. And so the idea, therefore, is to supply nutritional rich food components. So the greens, which supply chlorophyll, the adaptogenic herbs, the medicinal mushroom, the raw plant material, sea vegetable, dried or raw. So the idea is to have nutrient-rich, relatively low-calorie food. And that all these greens like that will be rich in calcium. So what that will do is it will put your body back into the sympathetic dominant mode. Because during the decalcification, with large doses of magnesium bicarbonate, you will go into the parasympathetic mode. You'll be sleeping a lot. You tend to want to just sit back, relax, and let life happen, because it's the rest and reconstruction phase, which is what we want. But we don't want to be like that for the rest of eternity. So we want to put back the components that will give us the energy to move, and regular hard water, which is high in calcium bicarbonate, has a little bit of magnesium bicarbonate, is a good thing to do with plant material that's rich in calcium. Will give us the sympathetic dominance that we need to run an active life.
This is quite interesting, Ron, because I have been working a lot with metabolic typing, mm-hmm. which actually helps us determine whether a person is sympathetic dominant or parasympathetic dominant.
Yeah.
And for instance, myself, I'm a sympathetic dominant, which means that I'm already needing a lot of magnesium to calm down. Otherwise, I just become too stressy. But interestingly, Scott, for instance, is a parasympathetic dominant. And so he needs to take in foods that will help him be less peaceful, docile, and blah, blah, blah. His natural... do you want to show?
See?
Natural for Scott, the natural state of being would be to just sit on the cabana and enjoy the sunsets.
Yes, that's true. I enjoy that a lot.
Whereas my natural state of being is I want to have a big problem that I have to solve, like, for instance, chase down a antelope or something like that. That would be the most fun for me, just, you know, work hard and just be active. Like, my natural style of driving is to be going fast. If I go slow, I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, you bet.
So anyway, to let you expound on it, so we were going to talk about the, let me just switch it here. So as far as the foods, for instance, algae, like plankton and chlorella and spirulina and those type of things, are highly parasympathizing.
Yeah.
So they need to be offset by fats
yeah.
and other proteins, and they need to be offset by calcium.
You got it.
Just like you said correctly. So if you're eating a very healthy salad-based dinner, you need to find some way to complement it, else it's going to make you highly parasympathetic.
Yeah, sure am.
Somebody showed up in your office, yeah?
That's right, yes. Well, we thought that this thing would be from 1 to 2, and it's 2:10. So personally, the last slide there that I wanted to talk about is the one about what to avoid. Next one.
There we are.
Foods, cooked, canned, etc. Processed foods, artificial flavors, preservatives, coloring, refined and dehydrated foods.
Right. So that's totally logical. Of course, these are all the descriptions for dead foods that you'll find now are the common nutrition of the modern man, right?
Yeah.
The grocery store, stay away from the center aisles, because everything that's in the middle is useless.
Yeah.
Maybe not useless, maybe detrimental, yes?
No, it's worse than useless, because it actually damages you.
Well, that's all really interesting, Martin. Can we take a couple minutes and just go through the products again that Ron was talking about? Because I think there was an awful lot in this particular hangout that we covered, and it'd be, I think, really good to just kind of quickly go through them. And I know that that they're all on the Life Enthusiast Co-op website, and it might be helpful for people.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's well worth going over in detail, because these products are spectacular. We only covered two or three of them, but we will do better than just gentle. Okay, so here comes the screen. Here we are on Life Enthusiast website. We have the Essence C. You would find it over here and under brands, under Essence C. This is what loads. That's me explaining how we got to know Ron. And over here, if you click, you actually see the research pages that are related to this. So there's quite a few choices. For instance, here's Ron's own testimonial explaining how he came about, the miracle of structured water that we discussed. Here's an article about iodine dosage, why people should be all freaked out about iodine. The substratum chemistry and ORMIS. We touched on ORMIS, where Ron is explaining the water crystallization and the layers, how it all comes together. And iodine and so on. But anyway, so in here, when you load, you will see all the individual products here.
So there's the sea iodine at the top.
Yeah, that's the most popular. We sold. This is sorted in how many units we get to sell. We sell a lot of that. And one sec. I'm just confused about what's going on my screen. I need to move things around. So anyway, the details on Life Enthusiast website, every product has its own individual detail page. This is the all of the items by SNC. So when you click on the individual item, it loads up the product detail, and you can see that it gives you the main points, and in product information is just a short review and then some reviews from customers. And then over here on the additional details, you get to pick up some extra media. These would probably be some podcasts that we may have recorded. And then the benefits and ingredients and directions and recommended use, all of these details that you may be interested in are shown here. And additionally, we have research articles that may relate. This discusses cancer, hormone issues, and so on. I mean, there's a lot of material related to iodine, for instance. So there's why there are so many articles here.
Cool. So let's go back and look at a couple of the other products.
Okay. So the ones that were highlighted in this session was the sea relief lotion and concentrate. So these are the two. They are available either as a liquid or as a...
There's this bottle that he was showing.
Yep, there it is. And the lotion comes with a pump. And the pressurized bottle comes like that. So here you get to choose the options. Either you have a large bottle of liquid, or lotion, or big bottle of liquid.
Okay, cool. And so he had mentioned too that the if you left the top off and all the fuzzy, bubbly stuff disappeared, then you'd start getting the film on the bottom. How long? Like, I know when I open a bottle of pop that after a while it goes flat. So I'm going to assume that's the same with this water. How long should I have it? Like a month, a couple months, or a couple weeks? What do you think?
I believe that the way to do that would be... Let me put myself on the screen. It takes very little time. Like if you leave the bottle without the top at room temperature, it'll fizz out. It's the carbonation that's holding the bicarbonate in suspension.
Right.
When you lose the carbonation from the bottle, and you call it going flat, that's when the bicarbonate starts converting into the carbonate.
So I keep it in the fridge all the time, and I keep the lid on all the time. I'm just unscrew it a little bit to pour the water into my glass, and then put it back.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Just pour out whatever you're going to use, top it up, and keep it cold.
And keep it cold. So, and don't do what I do with most things in my fridge, which is leave it there for 3 years. fairly quickly, right?
Yeah, the supplement will do you no good sitting on your shelf or in your fridge.
That's right.
In order to alkalize your cells, you need to use it. This was a wonderful point that Ron made that might be lost on people. The reason we want to alkalize is so that we can improve the oxygen transport. And it's the presence of oxygen that prevents the shift from good respiration, cellular respiration, to fermentation. Fermentation is 30 times less effective. Well, actually, no, it's not like that. You use 9 calories with oxygenation, and you use 32 calories without the oxygenation to drive your body. So
what you're saying is when we oxidize our body, we're far more energetic.
It's the efficiency of conversion of sugar into energy. You use, this has smoked out of my head. I think I better go get some good food to get smart again. But
right.
The general principle is that when you're converting glucose into energy, when you have plenty of oxygen, it's about 30 times more efficient than the conversion when you are doing it as fermentation.
When you don't have the oxygen.
When you don't have the oxygen available.
All right. So was there any other products that he had talked about that you wanted to point out?
One sec. I'm just going to get the screen back up. And here we are. My system requires me to flip around like this. And so, anyway, the other products that we have available, one of them is the Voluxer conversion, which is, that's an expensive option, but it's well worth having.
So that's to make your own water?
This is the Voluxer blender upgrade. $275 for the small four capsule unit and $500 for the fancy one. But he now, I need to talk to Ron and get his bullet conversion, because that's a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm.
And here the AgVol fertilizer, this is, you know how he was mentioning that he could help people who are growing foods in hydroponic terrain?
Right.
The Agwell fertilizer is that fertilizer that would be used to grow things hydroponically.
Oh, cool.
And then the flavor concentrate is something that's like that wine wine drink or any drink improvement. This volumen flavor concentrate fixes any drink into highly healthful. And then this is the one we discussed, the lotion, and C Vitality Minerals is a mineral supplementation that would be in for general mineral.
Cool.
I don't know how to put it, like people who want to have more magnesium in their lives. And it includes all the trace minerals from seawater.
Nice.
And finally, lastly, Volixer water concentrate. If you want to experience the highly structured water, this concentrate, 1 tablespoon to 1 gallon, will convert any simple water to this highly hydrating water. We do that in Life Enthusiast. We have so many other options of structuring water, but this is one of them.
Cool. Well, it looks like we're going to have Ron on again to talk about some of the other things that he's come up with and get into more detail on how he went from being so ill to so vibrant.
Yeah, he's quite a cool guy when you look at him. This is the story of many of us, that the healers who have had to first heal ourselves. I mean, I was a fairly healthy 25-year-old, but then my 20s and 30s, I was quite sick because of my mercury poisoning.
Right.
So I had to reverse a lot of the damage, and some of it's not really easily reversible. And you can see on Ron, too, that he has some aging on him, but at his 75, he's looking darn good to me.
He is. Yeah, he's in great shape for 75. I would never have thought that. It's been absolutely fascinating. I've learned a whole lot, and I think that we need to have you on and go through some of this in a little bit more detail because I think we've just scratched the surface. So I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day to join us. And Martin, I think I'll let you wrap it all up. If somebody wants to know more about this amazing group of products that Ron's come up with, and what should they do?
Well, these products are available at Life Enthusiast Co-op, so come to see us at www.life-enthusiast.com. The brand is Essence C, as you can see on my banner. You'll find all of these products there, and they're readily available. If you want more information, call us at 1-866-543-3388. Thank you, Ron. Thank you so much. We can all wave goodbye. See you next time.
See ya.